to open the meeting for others to share. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Sorry about that. I'll laugh. I share for 15 minutes. Okay. My name's Miriam. I am a compulsive overeater. And this program's given me my life. I came here when I was 18. I didn't come here because I was like, yahoo, I made it to OA. I came here because I couldn't stop eating. And I was, I don't know, maybe I'll stand. I feel so short. I don't know, and maybe I'll sit back down because of the fan. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say I'm so excited to be here. This meeting is very special, near and dear to me, even though I don't live here anymore. I think about it. I think about the God is love up here all the time. Because I would come here and I'd see that and I would go, okay. And to me, it's like the outside world out there is what it is. But this is where it's at. Because I grew up in an environment, and I don't know if it was the environment. I don't know if it was my personality. Probably a combination of both. I know inside of me, I like more. I like excitement. I like fun. Always. Even as a little girl, I wanted to be where they were. You know, what are you doing? So that's in me. But then I was put on a food plan at 9 because I have a health condition where food mattered a lot. And that played a role in my life, a big role. And I was put on a diet and I was watched like a hawk as to what I had to eat. And my uncle was my doctor. And he had the circles of those people. and my parents and everybody watched what Miriam ate. Because for me, when I'm eating, they would tell me that if I didn't watch my food, that health complications would come down the road. Like I would lose my eyesight, I would lose my limbs, my organs would stop working later. So I remember thinking like, okay. And this is from 9 to 11. And I thought then even that I was fat. And I wasn't, but I thought I was. Because my body was being talked about. You know, my mom would compare me to tall, beautiful women. I remember it. Like, we'd be in stores, and she'd say, Miriam's waist is bigger, and her, she'd say that to, like, this grown woman. I was, like, 9. And I remember thinking, like, oh, well, she's really pretty. I want to be like her. I remember, like, these ideas happened, you know. Whether it's true or false, it happened. And I realized that in my inventory, by the way. So stuff comes up in inventory. So if you're new and you have no idea what this is, just keep coming back. You know, hang on to what you identify with, and what you don't identify with, blow it off and go to another meeting. That's my suggestion. But anyway, and then 11 years old comes, and I go to middle school, and nobody's watching my food. Sixth grade. And all because in middle school, you know, nobody, you know, you're older now and people aren't watching what you're eating. My mother monitored my food in elementary school. She was a teacher's aide. She did what any loving mother would do, by the way. She really did. But then she said, okay, Miriam's 11. She went back to school and she's on her own. And that is when I ate. That is when I had that sugar. You know, at Nutrition, they had these big chocolate chip cookies. They were big, greasy chocolate chip cookies. And I'd have like 2 or 3 or brownies. I'd have both. Nobody's looking. Nobody cares. And when I had the food, and I really believe in my heart, the food did for me what the alcoholic does for the alcohol, what the heroin does for the heroin addict. Food does that for me. It still does. I don't do it now, but I think about it on occasion if I'm uncomfortable. And the gift about this program is if I'm uncomfortable, I don't have to eat. I go to the program. This program's given me everything. And I wish I had more time. Every time I speak, I think, oh, I could just tell you everything. But anyway, so when I started eating and I felt that first year, I was like, this is great. Well, I'm outgrowing my clothes. Nothing's fitting. And at the time, like, guess clothes mattered. I'd get these, like, guess overalls, and that look at me. What I looked like mattered even back then. So I'm no longer fitting into my clothes. It doesn't even sink in because I'm a kid. when it began to really sink in that I'm fat was when I saw a picture of myself in the seventh grade and I was fat. I had gained about 65 pounds in 1 year. And on top of it, I'm killing myself. That's 5 minutes. When I saw that picture of myself, all I could think of was, I have to lose weight. I'm ugly. I'm a monster. I have to lose weight. And that became a series of diets. That became a series of nutritionists, therapists, adolescent weight loss programs. And in my mind, I thought if I could just lose the weight, then I would get the approval of everybody. If I lost the weight, then I would fit in with the rest of the girls. If I lost the weight, then I'll be like everybody else. But from that point on, as soon as I felt like I, and this disease, I learned from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you're new or you don't know, this is where it's at. But what I do is I replace the word alcoholic with compulsive overeater. And what happened was, as I did one diet after another, and I never lost weight. Like, I'd be honest, I'd lose like weight 1 week. I'd go to diet, whatever, you know, whatever it was, Nutrisystem, Jenny Craig, whatever it was, over and over again. And like three or four times, I'd go back, you know, thinking this will work. Well, the more diets you do and the more it doesn't work, the more I lost hope. And then I would binge through the night. I ate through the night, every night. And I would say, oh, I did it again. And every night I'd go to bed saying, I'm not going to do it. And then I'd wake up in the morning going, oh, I did it again. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I would eat, not wanting to eat, because I had to eat. I didn't eat because I was hungry. I ate because I had to. I had to. I had to. And I remember growing up thinking, you don't understand what this is. I don't understand what this is. But I'm not eating. I don't know. So this whole intuitive eating or eating in moderation, I wish I could do it. I really do. I can't. I can't. I can't. So my mom caught me binging when it was 1 week before my 18th birthday. And I always say this, you know, like if you're struggling or you feel like you're never going to get it, my process has not been like one linear thing. It's really been like, you know, then you go, you know, it's really been like, you can't label it. I don't think, for me, I can't label it because I had to hang out. So anyways, 1 week before my 18th birthday, my mom said, why don't you go to OA? And that was in the middle of the night. Well, it was like 11:30 at night. And I was an overachiever, always trying to prove myself all the while eating, you know. And every time I'd eat, I'd go, what's wrong with me? Like I would hate myself. I hated myself. Because I can't stop eating, and I want to more than anything. So when they said go to, my mom caught me binging. She said, why don't you go to OA? I was kind of like, okay, I'll go. And I do this every time because for me it was the beginning of my life. And I went to the Darby office in Reseda. Some people said hi to me with a smile on their face as soon as I walked in. And I sat in on a meeting, and I saw the steps on the walls. I had no idea what they meant. All I saw was the word food, like powerless over food. I don't know what that means, but okay. And people talked about, you know, doing things that I had never, you know, nobody talked about what I do. And that was the beginning of everything for me. And I hung out for 6 years. I did not do it a sponsor's way. I did it my way, but I stayed. And I remember seeing that fourth step on the wall, and I just thought, well, I don't have to do that. I don't know what that is, you know. And after 6 years of hanging out, and I learned in the Big Book, and they told me when I first came in at 18, and I'm a slow learner, I'm of the educational variety. I don't get everything right away. So if you're like, oh, they are doing it and I'm not, my suggestion, and this is just a suggestion, don't compare yourself. But if you're attracted to what you're seeing other people have, ask them how they did it. That's it. And then just do it. Become willing, you know. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe there's something else. So when I read the Big Book for the first time and they said, I'm on an insulin pump. And so it's beeping on me because my blood sugars are a little low, which is fine. No big deal. I'm saying it out loud because that's what I do. But anyway, and that's a gift, by the way, because when I was in the food, I'm a type 1 diabetic. When I was in the food, my blood sugars were 400 and up. Normal is like 70. My doctor said 60 is fine. But anyway, 70 to like 130 now. But anyway, when I was in the disease, I was eating, eating, eating. My blood sugars were high, and I was going to die. And I couldn't stop. And when I came to OA, and I heard to replace the word alcoholic with compulsive overeater in the big book, for the first time, I had hope because I was getting so hopeless on life. I felt like I don't know what else to do. Like, I really don't know what else to do. Nothing's working. And when I came to OA and my mom said, go, and they said, read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, there was a restaurant here on Ventura called Cable's Restaurant. And I, for the first time, just wanted to know why I was the way I was. And they said, it's a phenomenon of craving that the alcoholic drinks because once they have that first drink, they can't stop. Well, for the first time, I identified because that is why I eat. When I eat certain foods, I can't stop. And when I say a progress, not perfection, those first 6 years I did three binges a day. It was progress for me because I had not eaten all day, and then I would eat through the night, or I would binge through the day, and then I'd starve for the next 10 hours. I mean, it was such a mess. And although we, meanwhile, it's not just about the food, I am becoming sicker and sicker and crazier and crazier. And I was going to die within the next 5 years, and I knew it in my heart. So when I really hit bottom 6 years later, I knew that I was a makeup of the defects, and I knew that I was a makeup of the character defects that everything was, and that I needed to change. And I'm trying to, whatever God wants me to say. So in the big book, it talks about a psychic change, that I need to have a psychic change. Well, I can't change myself. I'm the problem. I'm self-will run riot, which is why I need a sponsor who knows what they're doing. And if that sponsor is attractive to you, you do what they say, and that's what I did. So I really hit bottom. I got a sponsor who, and I meant business. I meant it to the universe, like, I don't want to die. Because I was 170, maintaining that with three binges a day, I wasn't on a diet, so I was just happy to not be on a diet. I really thought it was the best I could do until I hit that bottom. Then I got a sponsor who said, okay, you want what I have, be willing to do what I ask you to do. And I'll tell you one thing I've learned hugely is that abstinence is inconvenient. That abstinence is about surrendering yourself by taking suggestion from somebody else. It's about becoming willing. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your education. In fact, that all can be a liability. If you're famous, just get over that too, because if you're a compulsive overeater, you're a compulsive overeater. If you have this thing, the only solution is God. God. We're on a mission for God. But, God is love, and your interpretation of a higher power is all that you need. It can be one guy in AA, he talked about how a deep purple jacket was his higher power for 1 year because the guy who gave it to him was the singer. And that was the night he got sober. So he made that his higher power for the first year, and it worked. I guess my point is that your higher power, whatever it takes to not hurt yourself with food, I didn't know that I had a choice until I came here. But the only way I don't eat compulsively today, and I'm not cured, I'm not recovered. I don't like saying that because that implies past. I'm an English teacher, so that implies past tense to me. That implies that I'm done. That I don't, maybe I don't need this anymore. I will never say I'm done. It terrifies me to say I'm done. I hear people go out because they think they got this. They're good. No way. And I'll tell you something, I don't know how much time I have left. How much time do I have left? Okay, so Friday night, I'll give you an example. Friday night, I went out, I'm here visiting family, and as soon as I was around my family, I immediately went into that little girl mode of, I'm not enough. And we went to this restaurant, and at the end, my aunt's commenting on how I'm eating. Miriam, you're always so good. You're always so disciplined. And I'm just quiet, and I'm enjoying my kids, and I'm trying to enjoy the environment. And then at the end, she says, oh, have we have to get the hot fudge sundae. So they order this big hot fudge sundae. They put it in the middle. You know, everyone's who would like a spoon? And I'm sitting there, and I order my decaf coffee, and I was on edge. I wanted a taste. I wanted to be a part of. I was uncomfortable. And I sat there and I just held on, and I got back to the house and I made two phone calls and I went walking for about a half an hour, and I said, this is what's going on. Because if I don't put this program first and use the tools, I will die. I will go back quickly, and it's really one day at a time. And if you're new, take what you want, leave the rest. It's an honor to be here. And God, if you're here, what a privilege. That's all I got. Thanks. Okay, it is now time to open the meeting. Oh, and by the way, I love seeing people here who I haven't seen. It fills my heart. Love y'all. It's wonderful. Okay, it is now time to open the meeting.